In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As we begin this morning, it's interesting that we see Jesus healing, and then there's a bit of an example of those who don't seem to have a clarity of who he is, even when they've been healed. So this starts out with this group of lepers. These people, these 10, have been set out of community so that no one else catches it, of course. But they can't come into town. They can't drink from the well that other people drink from. They can't engage other people on the road. If someone doesn't recognize them as lepers and comes toward them, they have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." So the person knows, don't go near them. So they are used to being set apart and set out and not allowed to be within the norms of their society. And that's where we begin, with that understanding of these people. And they immediately have seen Jesus coming down the road in this region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. So they're probably just outside of the village as Jesus is coming in. They called out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So apparently they've heard of him. Because otherwise he would just be some other guy walking down the road. So they've heard of his reputation and they are going to take a chance on this Jesus. They called out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He didn't do anything. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests," and they immediately went on their way. They didn't stop and say, "Okay, well, can't go yet because he hasn't done anything yet." They were invited to go do something by Jesus, and they immediately did it. They didn't wait for what they expected to happen to happen. What they expected to happen happened when they were on their way. I'm sure you're understanding my point, which isn't mine, but that of God. They didn't wait. "Go show yourselves to the priests." Well, why is that a big deal? Well, that's the person who can declare them clean. If they go show themselves to the priests and they're clean and set apart, set back in, I should say, they've been set apart, the priest declares them clean, they get to go back to their life, their family, their jobs, their community, potentially the synagogue. They can re-enter, all that they lost has been given back. I'm just imagining the journey. "Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Go show yourself to the priests." Yeah, that's how we got out here to begin with. If I hadn't shown myself to the priest, I wouldn't have been kicked out of the village. But off they went. I'm sitting going, "Hey, Bill, it's not looking good for me. How far do we want to go? How far down the road do we go before we decide we shouldn't go any further?" But something happened. And on their way, they were made clean. And in the midst of that, one of them stopped and went, and turned and began praising God loudly, loudly praising God, ran back. I can just imagine he was probably one of those crazy people, probably put his hands up. Not me, him. And ran to Jesus. And in that loud voice, praising God, turned back, prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. See, something happened for that one. That one leper saw God. Maybe he reflected on our Old Testament lesson for a moment when the king got the letter and said, "Who am I, God?" And this one leper said, "I think that was God." And loudly, it says, by the way, doesn't it? Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He didn't go, "It's nice." He loudly was praising God. Here's the funny thing. Maybe you're like me and you're thinking Jesus is having this moment with this leper. And I don't know why this happens, but for some reason in my mind, it never occurred to me that he was loudly praising God, returning whatever part of the journey he's already made. I can see him now running and other people going, "What is wrong with him? He's out of control." Yes, we've all heard of this Jesus, but he's out of control. He's running back there praising God. Maybe some people even followed him thinking, "Well, this is going to be fun. Let's see what happens next." And he falls on his face in front of Jesus and thanks him. And suddenly, maybe they realize too that this Jesus is the incarnate God dwelling among them. God himself, right there. Don't know what happened to the nine. We know that they may have been the official chosen. Maybe it was a blend of the official chosen Jewish people and then those who were not pure Jewish, also known as Samaritans, of mixed blood. So even this one Samaritan went back. Maybe there were other Samaritans with him because we're between that area where they might be mingling. A little, not a lot. So even this one, who's not even pure of blood, chosen, has seen God incarnate in Jesus Christ. Maybe some of the others were like him, and maybe some of them weren't. But in that moment, the one who's least likely to know seems to know, according to Jewish standard at the time. And then the other nine never came back. Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And we don't know what happened to the other 9, but we can make some assumptions, so here's mine. I get to do it, it doesn't say. I'm saying this. They were made clean. Their disease was gone. And then in the midst of discovering that, on their way to make it official with the priest, they remembered their life, their old life, and all that it was. And that was more important to them, to get that back. And I suspect they did. They were probably declared clean by the priest. They went back to their families, they went back to their lives, and they went back to whatever it was they were doing before they were sent away. And that's all they wanted. But one saw something more. And we know that Jesus recognizes that because then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." He's well because he's now been reconciled to the God of all. He has seen God face to face in Jesus Christ, and he knows it. It wasn't just a nice thing that happened for him. His skin was healed, but the man was made well. This might surprise you. Often, people arrive at the church in crisis. maybe even some of us, initially came to the church in crisis. Maybe it was an emotional, a spiritual, or a physical crisis, and we said we have nothing left. Let's take a chance on this Jesus. Some people never left. They were just born into it. And they've spent their whole lives knowing what the one discovered in the story today. But then there's others that I might suspect are a little bit like some people I've met along the way. And one man I met many years ago as I was trying to find my way back into the church. And he'd been sitting in the pew for 6 decades. And I'm saying, why do you do that? That's just what you do on Sunday. Well, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, that doesn't cut it for me. That's just what you do. That is not what I wanted. I came back to see this Jesus, to see if maybe what he was offering would fill this desire that I could not yet articulate that was inside of me, that I might actually come to be more than what I already had, and it changed, obviously, but I wanted something different. I didn't just want yet another task to do on Sunday. I had that when I was a child. That's why I quit going. You know, my two huge joys as a young child, to realize that my parents slept in on Sunday, we would be very, very quiet. If you don't wake them, we don't have to go. I was raised in a Roman church for the first 10 or 11 years of my life. So on Wednesday, we had the great joy of coming home from school, getting a snack, and getting on our bicycles, and then riding our bicycles to the church for our CCD classes. As I got a little bit older, my father wasn't well and then passed shortly after, and I could just tell my mother when she came home from work and say, how was CCD today? And I'd say, oh, I forgot, was that today? Here's a secret, don't tell her. I never forgot. I just didn't go. I didn't see what this one saw. 9 of the 10 didn't see what the one saw. Brothers and sisters, I don't think it's changed that much, do you? Actually, I bet it has. Jesus was getting 1 out of 10. I don't think our odds are that good. I don't think that's what's happening. If I went and talked to 10 people about Jesus, I bet I'd have to talk to 10 times that before one went, huh, let me hear more about this Jesus. But these people had an encounter with him, didn't they? So we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, what'd you come looking for? Why are you here? How'd you get here? How many of you had someone tell you about Jesus and you said, maybe I should go find out a little more about this Jesus. I'm going to go to the church. Y'all were just born knowing Jesus. That's incredible. I was invited. None of you were invited to church by somebody? Not even your parents? That's incredible. We are holy. We'll work on the innocent part. In most cases, there is somebody in our lives who went, hey, you should look at Jesus at some point. How many of you came here today thinking, maybe today I will encounter the risen Lord? How many of you intend to take communion today? How many of you know that it's sacramentally, when we receive the body and blood at this table, we are touching God? How many of you, if I ended this sermon and walked out that door, would say, he didn't do his job today? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been to a church that doesn't do sacramental communion? Or maybe they don't do it at all. Yeah, and then you leave and you're getting in the car going, we should probably go to church. Right? I mean, it happens to me. I mean, I got family that they don't do this. I occasionally go to church with them, and I leave there, and it's kind of like that time when you go to an event, and you think there's going to be food, and you find out there's those little sandwiches, like with butter and stuff on them, and you leave there going, so what are we going to eat? Yeah, we come here for a reason, and we know it. Let me help you articulate it. You come here seeking communion, brothers and sisters, because that is where you see God. Amen? Amen. Now, and you've been waiting on this, haven't you? Which will you be? Will you be the one, or will you be the nine? Will you see God face to face and know that he can give you more? Or will you run to the life you have and you're comfortable with? Which one? You want the other one that you always had, or you want the one Jesus has for you? How long have you sat in the pew? How many times have you left an encounter with the risen Lord and went running out in the world praising God loudly, where somebody, heaven forbid, might hear you? I can just imagine it now. The one turning back, running, praising God loudly. Maybe he was singing a psalm. I don't know what he was doing. But people were thinking, what's happening? And then they saw him run and fall on his face in front of Jesus. And how many of them saw him on his face and looked up at Jesus and went, oh my God, it's God. Here he is. Because they saw the man loudly praising God and saw Jesus as he saw Jesus. The other nine, everybody went, you look better. What do we want? Look at this building. I could be wrong, but I think when it was built, we intended to have more people in it. Didn't we? Didn't we put all these seats in here for some other reason than a quarterly concert for the Plant City Chorale when it's filled? Whether you have recognized it yet or not, somebody who knew Jesus, God incarnate, in their life, in a way that had them loudly praising God, at some time in your life, turned to you, and maybe you were an infant and they put you into the baptismal font in some fashion, but at some point, somebody said, try this Jesus, and see if it might fill that need that you have inside you. And maybe you came in a crisis with a great need, and maybe you found help for that moment. But what I would say to you is, no matter how you came, don't sit here satisfied. Because whatever it is you think you have, I promise you, there is more. There is more. And this is the other thing I promise you. In our world today, it's not 1 out of 10. We could walk out of here and go to the next restaurant. I could square up 10 people and guarantee you 10 of 10 have never been invited to try Jesus. I don't know how you got here, but you do. I don't know where you are in your relationship with you and God, but He does. I know there's more. That I just know. Wherever you are, there's more. And I know this. No one outside of these walls will ever even think to turn to Jesus until the people inside these walls point them to Him. The 9 had no chance of anyone seeing in their actions and their behaviors or hearing their words. Not one person would have come to know the living God, Jesus Christ. They may have faithfully gone to the synagogue the rest of their life and sat quietly, maybe sang and danced some. But the one who publicly and loudly went praising God undoubtedly got somebody's attention. And I bet somebody saw Jesus. Which are you? Are you one of 9 who would rather have the life you have? Or are you the one who sees the risen Lord and is willing to praise God loudly for all that He has done so that you can find more? Which one are you?